Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
Welcome to Guts Church. What's her name?
Martha.
Martha. Oh, Marta. Is it Marta? It's not. It's Martha. All right. Well, welcome. Hey, and Sandy's got some friends here. Sandy's got almost a whole row, and Brian. Brian's like the plus one on the row. He's like, he doesn't get an invitation. He's just kind of a plus one. I'd like to introduce Brian to you. Brian Tyler. Let me tell you, the weight of the world's on Brian. He's got to produce in October because his name's at the top of the org chart for the legendary nightmare outreach. Brian Tyler, right there. And Lana's here. Lana Ty. There's a rest. You know that? There's a restaurant called Lana Ty. Well, she doesn't have a Thai last name. It's Velasquez or something. That'd be like La Rocha. You know what I mean? That'd be like, Viva La Rosa. I still don't know what that means. So if you know Spanish and that's cussing to the pure, all things are pure. Okay, right? Scott Houston's here tonight, and no, not just that. Some of you guys didn't see him because he's got his trendy camo shirt on. Scott, do you mind standing and waving and saying hi to everyone? Scott Houston. Oh, out of nowhere. And then there's Sandy. I'm working the room. This is how you do it. Okay, get Sandy a mic. No, I'm not doing it. You get bossy in here, give Sandy a mic, and let her take care of it. The boss lady right here, Sandy Shear.
Okay. Linda. This is Linda Sharkey.
Yes.
She and her husband have a church in Spokane, Washington. Excellent church. And this is Theresa. She and Glenn have a great church in Vancouver, Washington. I just had a mental block. Vancouver, Washington. Bill was just there this weekend. Yep. I want to say something about Lana for a second. She is over. She really should be speaking tonight because she.
There you go. I guess you reap what you sow, huh?
Yeah. She definitely should be speaking tonight. But anyway, Lana has an incredible ministry in Thailand. And we sent a group from this church to Thailand. Where are the tallies? Tallies are over here. They went. Kennedy went. And Megan, is Megan here? Oh, Megan. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so anyway, we sent a group over there. And she and Jesse Gibson just showed them everything. They ministered. They had fun. I think y'all did a lot of fun things, too. Last video I got of Kennedy when she was over there is a bunch of little girls at the school were fanning her. And I'm like, hello? Is this ministry?
This is what we do in Tulsa.
This is what she gets in Tulsa, the spoiled little rotten. Anyway. But anyway, you need to get to know her. If I'd known she was going to be here tonight,
Sandy,
I would have
give
her
the mic and just let her tell everybody what she's doing. Dear God. She's going to speak.
Sawadika is hello in Thailand. I've been over there for 17 years. We have 145 rescued children. Thailand is the number one in the world for child prostitution. Brazil's number two. And we see everything from babies. I have 3-day-olds all the way up to 19-year-olds. And right now we got 25 acres of, it's called the Promised Land. We got this property from the Thai, Chinese, Burmese mafia. And we do family-style safe homes. So we just built our 16th family-style safe home on the Promised Land. These kids, we rescue them out of child trafficking, sex slavery, but also exploitation. There's a lot of begging rings. There's just a lot of child exploitation in Thailand. And so what we do is we give them a home. We give them a mom that doesn't sell them, a dad that doesn't sneak in the room and abuse them. And we let them see how to be pillars in society, how to just be productive members of society and not repeat the same abuses that have happened to them. And our whole plan, our strategic plan is prevent, rescue, heal. So we have 500 children in the prevention projects. We basically go to the pools where the bad guys get the children, be it the garbage dump, the Muslim slum, wherever it be, and we get to these children before the bad guys do. And then we have rescue, which our team actually, there's five people on the government task force in Life Impact. We have one seat of five to actually go in, kick down doors, and rescue these children out of these situations. And so the government, yeah, it's crazy, the favor, but the government has come to us and asked us if we would be the first government-recognized safe home and if we would be the MASOP model for Southeast Asia of prevent, rescue, and heal. So we have a voice for the voiceless, a voice for the vulnerable. We get to fight for those who can't fight for themselves in the rescue. And then the heal is they're our babies. It's the long-term aftercare. They don't age out. They're our babies, and we're with them till the very end. So thank you for being a part of it. Wow. Thanks for coming to us.
I told you, she's got a lot in her. So come up and meet her afterwards. She's amazing. And we're going to be sending more people.
Thank you
to
for
Thailand.
Coming. That's better than I could ever do. Okay. So, hey, let's, I know we're lead packing. We're tithing, we're giving, but we're writing a check tonight for that. All right. She had me with kicking doors in. I mean, you think about it. I mean, and Brooke, the other one, Kennedy came home, and she was a surprise. Those surprise babies, sometimes their names slip your mind. But she was too a surprise. I had more to do with it than you did. Why are you arguing with me tonight so much? Why don't you just... that's me putting my foot down, fellas, right there. We had a men's meeting. How about Coach Stoops? I'll tell you what an excuse is. I'm like, dear God, tell me. He's going to rip my face off while he tells me. Okay. No, but let's give. Get the buckets ready. We got, like, the administrative people right now are freaking out because the buckets are gone. Dear God, the buckets are gone. So let's find the buckets. Hustle up. Find the buckets. Get your checks out. Get your checkbooks out. Do it at the end. Get back in your seat. How about that? It's a good hustle, though. Chris was just going somewhere. He didn't know where he was going. He just goes, I got to go find a bucket. It is nightmare season. We do own October. And I'm excited. Can I tell you about October? October, if we're going to own October, we're going to own it. So there's four Sundays in October. If you are a member of Guts Church, what do you call it when they have to go? You're required. It's mandatory. That's the number. I'm going to work the other side, Scott. It's mandatory for you to be here every Sunday in October. Show me how many Sundays there are in October, okay? No, show me. Everybody in here, show me, okay? There's guests in here flipping me off, Sandy. I don't appreciate this. But we have four Sundays. We're all going to be here every Sunday, but we also are all going to bring someone with us every Sunday. Because we own October. Just bring one. We're not asking you for 10 or a row or a section of people. Just one person. Just bring one person. Let's own it. And I'll tell you why this is on my heart. As a matter of fact, I was in Kennewick, Washington Monday night at a men's meeting on the front row, and God put it on my heart about just how important it is, how one's important. Because I'm a numbers guy, okay? And I'm believing God for 1,000 salvations a night at the Nightmare. Anybody with me on that? And But I'll just tell you, I began to meditate upon how important to God one person is. You know, and we've all heard kind of the cheesy Baptist deal where it's like, you know, if it just would have been you, God would have given his son Jesus and died. And I believe that. God would have given his son Jesus for me to have a relationship with him. That's how big a deal it is for God. But then I started thinking about Jesus, and it was amazing. The woman at the well, the woman with the issue of blood, the Jairus and Zacchaeus, and the just everybody, Peter, that when Jesus forgave him, and it was all one-on-one ministry. It was one person that Jesus, he turned to Matthew, and see, this is what I'm believing God for. I'm believing God for some of those guys that are kind of on the outskirts. Some of those guys that are on the fringe, even of society. And you know what? Jesus is walking by with his disciples, and he just picked up Peter and his brothers. And those guys are walking with him. And he walked by where Matthew was. Matthew was on the porch of the tax collector's office, and he's walking by there, and evidently their eyes caught. And Jesus looked at Matthew and said, "Hey, you want to go with us?" Matthew said, "Sure." He goes, "Okay, come on, follow me." And see, I think that's how simple it is. I think that if we're normal and we're believing God and we're trusting God and there's one heartbeat and there's one vision in this church, I mean, what's amazing is, do you guys understand that, how many of you guys were a part of the Legacy Campaign? Can I see your hands? What's amazing about that is we called it the Legacy Campaign. And Sandy, I don't even remember who came up with that. But it was a few years ago that we decided we were going to do the first capital campaign we ever did. And I'm going to put on my big boy pants as a pastor and as a leader and as a preacher. And everybody does those. And I'd never done it. And it was kind of like a badge of honor for me, where it's like, you know, we've never had a building fund. We've never had a, and so God really put it in my heart. And honestly, it's blessed my life. It's really changed my life. Just being able to meet with couples and with groups of people in the church and just talked about the great things that God's doing in people's lives. But in doing this, we decided somehow, and I don't remember who it was, somehow we decided to call it a legacy campaign. And a part of this legacy campaign, we talked about projects. We re-roofed this side of the street. And so there's been no leaks in our roof for the last 2 years. And before, you'd walk in here and there'd be those bright orange buckets on the floors everywhere, and people would sit there to be dripping on them and services. Well, now that doesn't happen. We put a new sound system, a new video in this room. And let me, I'm gonna divert here if I'm not careful. We put in hospitality areas. We redid the kids and junior kids playgrounds, all kinds of others. We're going to build a field house. But at the end of that deal, I said, and I kind of slipped it in. I'm sitting in the meeting, and I said, "Okay, we're going to do these projects." And the guy that was here that we hired to help us with the capital campaign, he said, "Man, you need projects. You need to do stuff for kids. You need to do stuff in the sanctuary." I said, "We're doing all that." I said, "But you know what? We're going to plant two churches, and we're going to do it with this." And I'll tell you, last night, the first of those two churches was launched in the local church, and it's with a son of the house, our son, the legacy. And I'm like, oh my gosh, God backed our play. Oh my gosh, it was just overwhelming. And then you think about it, I got up here last week and I said, man, on Thursday night our women went to the prison and 35 women got saved. And then I heard more than that got saved. And then I said that 18 people got saved at Friday Groceries, and Chano preached, and Chano corrected me and said more than that got saved. And then that Sunday people got saved, and then Wednesday, and then last night 18 people got saved. Do you understand? This is a roll. I'm telling you, this is like revival. I'm just telling you, those are numbers that aren't specific to this church, that there's so many churches around, and this is what God's doing. Man, you want to reach people. You want to change the world. We do that in church services, and we do that by planting churches and launching churches. And it's a fight. I'll tell you what, the people that were involved last night, everything that could go wrong almost went wrong. Man, we got this state-of-the-art video screen, and the guys that we bought it from dropped it and broke it. And I mean, and they're looking at each other, and they were counting on Chano. Chano, do you mind standing? Chano dropped the screen. Chano had it in his hands. Show him how you did it, Chano. Like this, to no avail. And they replaced it that night. But I mean, all this stuff, and it was awesome for me, because I went in and I was peaceful as a lamb. I mean, I walked in and I thought, this is awesome. They brought me a cup of coffee. I was hanging around. I was watching the sunset, wasn't I, Cassie? I'm sitting at the wall going, oh my gosh, at the window. The whole thing's about ready to start. I'm looking at the window and going, this is beautiful here. We're on the 16th floor of the Mayo Hotel. Look at the beautiful sunset. Hey, somebody get a picture of that sunset. And then I turn and look at Taylor, and sweat's dripping off his face, and his armpits are all wringed out, and his beard's growing out, and I'm like, oh, it's awesome. There's no pressure in this church planting stuff here. But I'll just tell you what God's doing. Man, you think about it. What I want to do is I want to kick doors in on young people that are thinking about killing themselves. And that's what the nightmare is. That's what we do. So for 4 weeks, we're all going to be here every Sunday. And you're like, are you kidding me? I have to come every week now? Yeah. We can't change the world unless you're here. We get people in this room, we could change their lives, man. That's how big an impact you are. Yeah, the music's great. I think the preaching's okay. We've got guest girl preachers that get up here and sweep us off our feet. But let me just tell you, people coming in contact with you that are living a life of dynamic faith is life-changing. That's who you are. So we got to get you in here. We got to get people that you know. And I'll tell you, you're walking by Matthew's office, man, you say, hey, why don't you join me? You want to come along with us? He said, sure. And let me tell you, it ticked Peter off. Because Simon Peter at that time, he had a business, and not only was Matthew collecting taxes for the Roman government, he was also adding a little bit for his office. So Peter had a leg behind the Roman business people, the Roman fishermen. Why? Because he had to pay taxes, an add-on tax to the Jewish people that were collecting taxes for him. You know, I've been a Christian now for 39 years, almost a generation of my life in Christ for 40 years, but it's been 39 years. And 39 years ago, I got saved, and the man who led me, the Lord, he was persistent in asking me what I was going to do with my life. And it's interesting because I don't know, because everything changed. Every habit I had, every vice I had, every friend I had, every enemy I had, everything that was my life, if you bundled it up, none of it worked in my new life in Christ. And I tried to still go to the parties. I tried to still hang out. I tried to still do it. And it was just too hard. And he asked me, he said, what are you going to do with your life? And he said, why don't you go to Bible school? I said, well, because I'm not going to Bible school. I'm not a Bible school guy. And he said, well, you ought to think about it. Would you just pray about it? I said, And I said this, sure I will. Sure I'll pray about it. And the next thing I knew, I was at Bible school. And I'd been a Christian for like not even 6 weeks. I knew nothing. I had a brand new Bible, and it was brand new because I'd never opened it. I'd never really read it. And it was a gift, but I didn't know much of the word. But anyway, I knew Jesus saved my life. Turn to somebody and say, Jesus saved my life. I don't think we say that or think about that often enough. But Jesus saved my life. Well, so what happened is I didn't fit in this situation here because I was like far from being a heathen. And I was just, it was as entry level. I was just barely through the threshold of the kingdom. And I'm at Bible school and with people that had spent years preparing their lives to go to be able to be in ministry. And here I was, it's like, yeah, I'll do it because this guy asked me if I would apply. And then the guy that did my interview and my application process denied my application. And I'm like, well, I'm going. I didn't want to go until they told me I couldn't go. So I went. And so anyway, I'm there. And let me tell you, the question I kept getting because I didn't fit in is, hey, what's the call on your life? I'm like, what? Well, you're at Bible school. What's the call that's on your life? I'm like, I have no idea. Are you kidding me? They don't give those to guys like me, those calls. And so it happened often enough that it was almost a personal dig for me because I didn't have an answer. Hey, before we go any further, hey, can we give Carrie Reed the gift certificate to Mahogany's for being the closest guest? Mahogany's right there. How many of you guys guessed? Last week, you lost. Carrie won. Carrie, you're going to need to take everybody to Mahogany's with you, okay? I hope that's a big gift certificate because do you have a date or somebody you could take? You do? Okay. So anyway, Pete, we had a contest last week that if you wrote down a number and your name and telephone number and you put it on the closest one got a gift certificate to Mahogany's, which is a pretty good restaurant, huh, Sandy? It's real good. The bone-in filet, it's a pretty good Wes. It's worth it. And that lobster escargot, talk to me. Butter for days on that. You ever had that, Chris Hart? Yeah, it fills your gizzard, doesn't it? What's your call? What's the call? This was in 1979. Aren't you thanking God the church has grown from those kind of stupid questions? But But I didn't have an answer, so I went home one night, and I was just praying, and I just said, God, you got to help me. These idiots are asking me what my call is, and I have no idea. I look like a bigger idiot than these idiots. So, God, this is a bad day. This is a bad deal. And I'm telling you, God spoke to me and said, just be a believer. And so I went back, and the next day, it's interesting because I was getting out of my vehicle in the parking lot, and the guy came up and goes, hey, you ever figured out your call yet? Thinking it was fun or something. I said, yeah, I did. He said, really? I said, yeah, I did. And there was a group of guys around, and they said, what is it? I said, I'm a believer. And a guy that was kind of in the background goes, oh, my gosh, that's my call too. And, you know, we're called to be believers. We're called to be, and but then here's the bottom line. We've got to believe. And I just want to ask you, do you believe? I mean, whatever you're facing right now, whatever you're dealing with, do you believe? Can you really believe God? Can you really trust God? See, because that's what a believer is, that we're believing. Do you believe? And then you'll say, yes, I believe. Okay, why? Well, I believe because I'm in a mess. There's a reason I believe. I believe because I get a bad diagnosis, so I believe that God's a healer now. Do you believe? Well, I'm believing God for a kid, and man, I'm believing. I got a husband. All I need now is to get pregnant. And 17 years, stand up, Tanya. 17 years, Tanya believed for a baby. Now she's got this baby that runs around and looks at me. He'll be in the office with Tanya, because that's what these people do. They bring their babies in, and the babies are cute, so nobody's gonna go get that cute kid out of here. Her baby's name's Maddie, looks at me like, who are you? And I can't even say my name's on the mortgage anymore because we burned it in December. But I got this little one-year-old kid that's looking at me going, hey, this is my place. What are you doing here? And we raised our kids like that. But the point is, why? What's your why? Man, believe in God. Man, the whole idea of God being our healer is because he loves us. Our provider is because he loves us. The big key to life is trusting what God has promised. That's the big key. That's our whole key of life, because it's never going to look like that. You know, there's a devil. It's interesting. I was talking to some staff people backstage on the music side of the backstage back there earlier. And you know, if you know, you think about it, and I game plan for the devil. I do. I know how the devil thinks. I know what he tries to do. I know how he tries to jack with my life. I know how he tries to jack with Brian's life. I know how he tries to jack with Sandy's life. I know how he tries to jack with Joel's life. Man, Joel sent me a text this last week. Joel was going to travel with me to Washington. And Joel sent me a text, and he said, I'm not going to be able to go. My son Brody, little Brody, he's like 4 years old. He said, man, this is going on, and I feel like I need to stay home. And I said, no, you need to stay home. And when I sent that text, I'm telling you, an indignation hit my heart. A true anger hit my heart. And I'll tell you, I was mad as heck. And I thought, wait a second, well, no freaking way here. And so I texted him back, and I mean, it's almost like my thumb was pushing through the phone. I was texting the letter so hard, where it's like, let me tell you something. Man, the Passover blood of Jesus trumps any situation that Brody's going through, that your son, that you're going through right now. And I'm telling you, I'm proclaiming, and I'm claiming, and I'm standing on victory right now for you in Jesus' name. And I hit that button, and you know what? And I got up the next morning, I got a text. He said, man, Brody was up running around and playing and laughing this morning, and shouldn't have been able to do that with the symptoms that he had before that. Man, I got up and I read that text thread to the church. Matter of fact, to Theresa's church. I got up and I read that text thread, and I read it for them, but I'm telling you, I read it for me as well. See, this message just, it's not, hey, this is going to be a good word for you. It's a good word for me. That's why I'm delivering it for you. See, that's how this works. See, God doesn't like throw a blessing that bounces off us and then hits somebody else. The Bible says that through us, all the families of the earth will be blessed. But it's through us. See, we've got to get this in us. Man, this love for this house. I've got such a deep love for this house that I'm thinking, man, if we could just get somebody's butt on a seat in here, we could help them. Man, somebody's got an addiction. Addictions are easy here. Man, they're easy. Let me just tell you, that addiction, we can rid that addiction. Man, if you know people that are addicted and you get them here four times in October, I'm telling you, that addiction won't be able to stand the test of our faith. See, that's how we have to look at it. This is dynamic. And we're not giving people an opportunity to justify defeat anymore. That's all those excuses are. That's what Coach Stoops said. I mean, he said that, and I'm like, dear God, are you kidding me? We're justifying defeat by making excuses. Number one tonight, the just shall live. You guys read it for me. It's on the screen. Read it. Go. We're living by faith. We're not living by what we see. We're not living by how we feel. We're not living by our predicament. We're not living by our situation anymore. We're living by our trust for God. That's what the just shall live by faith. Romans 1:17, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it's written, the just shall live by faith. Galatians 3:11, but that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. You want one more? Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. The just shall live by faith. Now think about that. God said, look, I don't get the pleasure of having you as a son if you draw back. I get no pleasure. Number two, nothing's impossible to he who believes. See, I'm telling you, these are basic. You don't want to argue with me on these. It would be a bad day for you. I could go all day on scripture that nothing's impossible to he who believes. How many of you guys have ever faced impossible situations, yet here you are at church? Here you are. Man, I've had people, over 25 and a half years, people come in and say, yeah, my wife and I split up and I need to get my life right. I got to dry out. My marriage is over, but I'm going to start new. This is fresh. I'm going to get in a new church. And you know what? 3 or 4 weeks later, I see this guy sitting with a woman and it's like, what's going on? Well, I want to introduce you to my wife. I'm like, 3 or 4 weeks ago, you'd already stuck a fork in it and said it was over. It's not over. Turn to somebody and say, it's not over. It's not over. And I'll tell you why. You're sitting by a believer. Man, Chris Hart's a believer. If you're sitting by Chris Hart in one of these services, let me just tell you something. Nothing's impossible to he who believes. Man, Scott Houston's a believer. You get an impossible situation, you just find a better seat. You get with somebody that the Bible says bad company corrupts good morals. I believe that in the flip side, you get around the right people, the right things are going to start happening in your life. Things will start going your direction. Man, we all suffer defeat. Man, it rains on the just and the unjust alike, but nothing's in Luke 1:37, for with God, nothing will be impossible. Number three, abundance in life is the promise. This is the promise. Do you know what our inheritance really is? It's not money. It's not God filling up our checking accounts. It's not a new job. Our inheritance is the land. Now, why did God give us the land? You know, it's interesting because people will buy land. You think about what God, our inheritance, we're sons of Abraham. He said, look northward, southward, eastward, westward. As far as you can see, it's yours. And that's still when he was Abram, before he became Abraham. Man, you think about the month and 2 months leading up to you giving your life to the Lord. God's already starting to give you everything. Things start working. Things start happening. And then you know what? You're thinking, oh, my gosh, I'm at the end of my rope. I got to make Jesus Lord of my life. You make Jesus Lord of your life, and boom, what happens? That inheritance drops in your lap. And what has God promised us? He's promised us the land. Why? That's where the seed's going to go. See, every promise God gives us is in seed form. Man, you think about Lana. Lana got up and said, man, they gave us, the mafia gave us. She's in a church where that's just expected. That's not a shock to any of us. It's like, yeah, you know what the mafia does? It gives the Chinese and Burma and Thai mafia, they give land. That's what those guys do. And you know what? Those guys couldn't give it away fast enough. Let me just tell you something. Man, a few months before I got saved, I had a hit call to my life. For the first time in my life, fear really hit my life. I knew I was going to die. And the bottom line with this is, it's like, what are you going to do? You know what people say? There's nothing you can do. These people are too powerful. I couldn't eat. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't use the restroom for weeks. And then finally, the guy rescinded the hit because my dad prayed for me. How many of you guys have been, you guys that are in here, dad, you pray for your kids. My dad prayed for me. My dad asked God, said, God, deliver my son. Even though he's wrong, God, protect him and deliver him. I drove 4 hours back to the house I was living in. A guy ran out and he said, man, this guy said he couldn't eat, he couldn't sleep, he couldn't even go to the bathroom. He rescinded the hit and he paid the guy off to leave you alone. See, that's what happens with us. See, the bottom line with this is, and you know what he said? He said he never wants to hear your name again. Well, guess what? That man was in a medical penitentiary in Springfield, Missouri, and guess what? Somebody visited him and said, here's what that guy's, do you remember that kid? Do you remember that guy? He said, yeah. Here's what he's doing now, and told him all about the church. See, we look at it, and the bottom line, God's working things to your good. Why? What's point number one? We live by faith. What's point number two? Nothing's impossible. What's point number three? Abundance is God's promise. Abundance is his promise. Jesus in John 10 said, he said, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And there's too many even Christians and preachers that are saying, well, why does God let this happen? Because there's a freaking thief on the earth. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And Jesus said, but. And what's awesome about that word but is that word but, it means that in a statement, everything that was said before that doesn't matter. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Oh, when's God going to rapture the church? I remember hearing that. Guys will say, oh, we need Jesus to come back. We need Jesus to come back. Man, Jesus, man, the world's terrible. The world's going to hell. And you know what I'm thinking? Oh, God, don't let it be today. There's people we got to win. There's people I care about. There's people on my account. God, can you just hold it off just a little bit? And some of you guys, some of the theologians in here might be thinking, no, that's a bad way to think. Let me tell you, I get what you're saying, but that's how I think. What if my brother, what if my sister, what if your husband, what if your child, what if you got a kid that's not serving God? You're not calling out for the rapture. You're saying, God, I pray to the Lord of the harvest to send laborers. God, people that love you, people that aren't weird, people that don't have bad breath, to minister to him. God, help him. Reach him right where he's at. Anybody got a loved one like that? Anybody have a loved one where you're like, God, you got to send somebody. God, get somebody into their lives. Man, I still do. But abundance is it. Jesus said, I didn't come. Man, the thief comes for all that bad stuff. I've come to give you life. And he could have stopped right there and I'd have been great with it, but he didn't. You know what he said? And what? Life more abundant. Man, the abundant life is God's promise for you. But you know what? It's the third point. It's not the first point. The first point is, I'm going to live by faith, not by sight, not by how I feel. I'm going to realize that nothing's impossible because I believe. And God's given me everything pertaining to life and godliness. Oh, it's too hard to live for God. God's already given you everything that you need to live for him. Are you guys listening tonight? Because our responsibility, our only response is yes and amen. Yes and amen. Yes and amen. For all the promises of God in him are yes and in him amen. Now listen to this. This is an interesting little caveat here. To the glory of God through us. Do you see that? See those last two words? Through us, through us, through us. See, you want God's promises? God's promises have to go through somebody. Through us, through us. It's through us. It's going to be through me. God's promises go through Matt's life. Well, let me tell you, I'm competitive enough to think, yeah, I'm going to join in on that train. I don't want him getting all of it. Through us. His promises in him are yes, in him are amen, and they operate through us. Did I give you the fourth one? Through us. It's all determined through us. All of it. Can God get it to you? You live by faith. How does he get it to you? It's by faith. You can expect to receive nothing from God if you're double-minded. You're freaking out, but you trust in God. Man, I know people like that. I know a guy that had a brain tumor, and he's like, you know, God gave me this tumor. He's trusting me with the suffering. He's going to teach me through this. And I'm like, oh, God bless him. And then in the same conversation, you know what he said? And I believe in God to heal me. I'm like, you got to pick a side, dog. Like, if you're a dad in here and you take your son's arm and you break it and say, I'm only doing this to love you. I'm teaching you. No, God doesn't do that. Good dads don't do that. You go to jail for doing that. You should be beaten and then go to jail for doing that. God doesn't do that. God gives us his promise. But what's our inheritance? Think about this. It's the land. Why does he give us land? Because he's given you seed after seed after seed after seed after seed, abundance of harvest. Man, why does it rain? Why? It hydrates my land. God, we love you and we praise you. God, we thank you for who you are and thank you for what you're about. God, I thank you tonight. God, that we hear your voice in another. God, thank you for the statement that we own October. We choose tonight to own October. Live for you. Put you first in October. We're getting ready for this, God. God.